and at the time, he wasn't given any credit. Wexler actually wrote a letter to Roger Ebert when the movie came out, saying that he had sat in the movie theater with a stopwatch trying to figure out how much of the movie was his. In the end, it was about half. Wexler introduced the movie and did a Q&A. Earlier in the afternoon, however, I met him at his hotel room.
Okay. Hello, I'm Haskell Wexler in Champaign, Illinois.
What was your relationship with Roger Ebert?
I've known and loved Roger Ebert from, I guess, the week after he came up from Illini. And, of course, I was active in films, and we talked a lot. And many times, Studs Terkel and I would do things with Roger Ebert.
I guess the question is, what kind of stuff did you guys do together, you and Studs Terkel and Roger Ebert?
We'd bullshit. Yeah, I mean, as far as doing together, we would go for various good causes in Chicago and go and be together with various good causes in Chicago and put our 2 cents in because we had certain visibility.
So the three of you would kind of get together and say, you know what, Chicago needs this. We can work together to make this happen.
Absolutely correct. Helping with Columbia College and to build Chicago filmmaking ability. And also, Roger encouraged those theaters in Chicago which showed foreign films and films that usually were not Hollywood-type things. I think the fact that Roger, he did have a wide view of the kind of films that he was interested in, and he wanted other people to be interested in. I think that was a good thing, and I think the fact that he was in the Midwest and not at either coast sort of helped that. Even though his writing is not coastal in any way, his thought and his philosophy, I think, was embedded here.
So you're here today to introduce Days of Heaven at the Roger Ebert Film Festival.
Yes, I am.
I've heard so many different stories about what happened, I guess, in terms of Days of Heaven, in terms of your involvement, that the previous cinematographer moved to a Truffaut film. So what happened exactly?
Well, Nestor Elementos was the photographer and a good friend of mine on Days of Heaven, and he had to go to a Truffaut film. They were very far behind on their schedule, and Truffaut film was started promptly, so he had to leave. And so I saw Nestor's footage, and then I came up and made up for lost time. At least according to Terry and most of the people who know the film, that it was a good thing that it happened.
Well, it's funny because that movie, it's so beautiful, and so many people praise it for how it looks. It seems impossible to me that two people would have shot, you know, independently shot different halves of it.
Basically, as far as the look of the film, is Terry Malick's and by Nestor and continued by me.
I mean, I've heard that sort of there was a bit of, not necessarily controversy, but there was after the fact that you were not pleased that you were not necessarily given credit on the film for the work that you had done.
The producer, Bert Schneider, was a friend of mine. And when I saw how much of the film was my shooting, I wanted to have co-credit with Nestor. And then Nestor and Bert Schneider and I talked about it. And actually, Bert Schneider said, look, you already had Academy Awards. Nestor hasn't. And also because the way they had it, the Academy would not give a dual credit. And so for a couple of weeks, I was pissed.
I heard the story that apparently you sat in a theater with a stopwatch and you like watched the movie and you timed how much of it was you and how much of it was
Nestor. It was only when I saw the film that I had realized that. But strangely enough, it was not just certain big sections of the film, but what I was able to do is intercut scenes that were part of what Nestor did and do a pretty good matching job. So although I'm pleased with my work, the controversy of how much Nestor did, or I did, I think it's not of really any consequence. I think it's a beautiful-looking film, And basically, it's Terry Malick's film.
You are one of the most influential people who's shot movies ever, basically. Have you dealt with the new digital technology in terms of shooting films? And do you have any feelings about the coming of kind of digital film as a way to shoot movies?
Oh, I shoot digital.
Do you shoot digital now?
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. Mostly, of course, on documentaries, it allows you to do things that you couldn't do normally with film. It's just another way of presenting images. The whole fascination with technology in general is overstated and overblown. I do think that digital, the look of digital, for my own taste, tends to be harsher than film, and not so pleasing, although they're making changes. And there are also new filtration, trying to make it less sharp, more filmic, experimentation with many frames a second. Also, I've shot IMAX before. I've shot 3 IMAX pictures. I did one with the Rolling Stones. I did one, the arrival of the first shuttle, and then got a lot of publicity about it. And because my shot just happened to be one of the better ones, it's that incident, that shot with digital, Panavision's digital camera. So, and that was quite exciting. The camera guys met a couple of weeks later, and it was good spirits.
Thank you so much for taking all this time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I thank you for arranging this difficult interview.
Not at all. Thank you. That's Haskell Wexler, and you can hear an extended interview that I did with him, which includes some ribald stories from the filming of his own movie, Medium Cool, on our website, will.illinois.edu. Join us again tomorrow. We'll be speaking with another director involved with EbertFest, James Ponsoldt, whose movie The Spectacular Now closes the festival on Saturday. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL and by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, offering more than 3,000 certified organic products, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
In Charleston, South Carolina, a great meal might start with this libation.
Kumquat sparklers.
And end with this.
For dessert, Matt, what do you think?
I think Huguenot Tort.
Huguenot Tort, Syllabub, the mysterious Cheney Briar. Matt and Ted Lee with the Lee Brothers Charleston Kitchen. Today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
You're listening to WILL AM 580. We've been getting flood warnings from around the state this hour. We're going to be posting them all on our website, will.illinois.edu. And just to let you know, areas that are affected are mostly in southern and central Illinois. The Mississippi River at St. Louis, for example, is at 25 feet, so it is approaching the flood stage at this point. A flash flood watch is still in effect for Champaign-Urbana. That took effect at 7 this morning and is going to be effective through tonight. Wind advisory is in effect from 10 o'clock this morning to 7 p.m. for Champaign-Urbana and Danville also. The rest of the day, we are expecting about a 100% chance of rain and winds gusting at around 45 miles per hour. So please, if you are driving today or outside at all, do take precautions. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 18th of April, 2013. The anniversary of the great historic event celebrated by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in the poem that begins, "Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year, or who in fact remembers that poem by Longfellow. But it was on this day in 1775. Paul Revere rode from Boston out to Lexington and then to Concord, warning that the British were coming. And it's the anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters in this country's history, the San Francisco earthquake of 1906, which began at 5:12 in the morning on a Wednesday. The shaking lasted just over a minute, the main shock about 42 seconds long. Along the San Andreas Fault, running the length of California, the epicenter 2 miles off the coast of San Francisco, the earthquake believed to have been about a 7.8 on the modern Richter scale. San Francisco was a city of 410,000 people at the time, and the earthquake and the fires that followed left about 2 out of 3 San Franciscans homeless. The earthquake caused some damage. The fires that followed caused even more. Fires caused by ruptured gas lines, and then fires set by firefighters, thinking they could blow up buildings with dynamite and thereby create fire breaks, which did not work. It was later estimated that half of the buildings blown up by dynamite would have otherwise survived. And then there were the buildings set afire by the owners, hoping to collect insurance money. Because insurance did not cover earthquake damage, it did, however, cover fire damage. But the disaster caused so much damage that insurance companies couldn't cover it anyway, so people didn't get their money. Historians now estimate that 90% of the destruction to the city came from fires that followed the earthquake rather than the earthquake itself. About 500 persons were shot and killed by federal troops and police trying to prevent looting, many of whom were not actually looting, it turned out, simply trying to rescue their own possessions from the fires. After the earthquake, San Francisco set out to rebuild itself in time for the great Panama Pacific International Exposition, scheduled for 1915. And in the rush to rebuild, they took shortcuts, ignored many of the building codes and regulations, and buildings built in the years after the earthquake were actually less seismically safe than those built before. Here's a poem for today by James Fenton, entitled Sirius. Awake, alert, suddenly serious in love. You're a surprise. I've known you long enough, now I can hardly meet your eyes. It's not that I'm embarrassed or ashamed. You've changed the rules the way I'd hoped they'd change before I thought hopes are for fools. Let me walk with you. I've got the newspapers to fetch. I think you know. I think you have the edge. But I feel cheerful, even